Welcome to Side B. 欢迎你来到 B 面。
Lesson 10. Since my family were not going to be helpful, I decided I would look for one all by myself and not tell them about it till I got one. I had seen an agency advertised in a local newspaper. I rushed out of the house in search of it. I was wildly excited and as nervous as if I were going on the stage. Finding the place quite easily, I ran breathlessly through a door which said, "Enter without knocking, if you please." The simple atmosphere of the office calmed me. The woman looked carefully at me for a while through her glasses, and then questioned me in a low voice. I answered softly. All of a sudden, I started to feel rather hopeless. She wondered why I was looking for this sort of job. I felt even more helpless when she told me that it would be difficult to get a job without experience. I wondered whether I ought to leave, when the telephone on her desk rang. I heard her say, "As a matter of fact, I've got someone in the office at this very moment who might suit." She wrote down a number and held it out to me, saying, "Ring up this lady. She wants a cook immediately. In fact, you would have to start tomorrow by cooking a dinner for 10 people." "Oh, yes," said I, never having cooked for more than 4 in my life. I thanked her again and again and rushed out to the nearest telephone box. I collected my thoughts, took a deep breath, and rang the number. I said confidently that I was just what she was looking for. I spent the next few hours reading cookbooks.
Hey, man, you're making great progress. 你正在取得最大的进步。
Lesson 11. Elizabeth Clay decided to go home and spend the holiday with her parents. The next day, she drove her old car home along the road. Suddenly, she found she had got a flat. The 22-year-old student managed to stop her car by the side of the road in the winter night and open the trunk. No spare tire. At this time, a car stopped. Paul and Diane told Clay to follow them to a service station near their house. They arrived to see that it had no suitable tires to go with her car. "Follow us home," said Paul. The couple called around to find a tire. No luck. They decided to let her use their own car. "Here," Paul said, handing Clay a set of keys. "Take our car. We won't be using it over the holiday." Clay was astonished. "But I'm going all the way to South Carolina, and I'll be gone for 2 weeks," she reminded them. "We know," Paul said. "We'll be here when you get back. Here's our number if you need to get in touch with us." Unable to believe her eyes, Clay watched as the couple put her luggage into their car and then sent her off. 2 weeks later, she returned to find her old car cleaned inside and out, with 3 new tires and the radio fixed. "Thank you so much," she said. "How much do I owe you?" "Oh, no," Paul said. "We don't want any money. It's our pleasure." Clay realized that while it might have been their pleasure, it was now her duty to pass on their "do unto others" spirit. Lesson 12. Adults are often surprised by how well they remember something they learned as children, but have never practiced in the meantime. A man who has not had an opportunity to go swimming for years can still swim as well as ever when he gets back in the water. He can get on a bicycle after several decades and still ride away. A mother who has not thought about the words for years can teach her daughter the poem that begins, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star," or recite the story of Cinderella or Snow White. One explanation is the law of overlearning, which can be stated as follows. Once we have learned something, additional learning increases the length of time we will remember it. In childhood, we usually continue to practice such skills as swimming and bicycle riding long after we have learned them. We continue to listen to and remind ourselves of poems such as "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star" and childhood tales such as Cinderella or Snow White. We not only learn, but overlearn. The law of overlearning explains why cramming for an examination, though it may result in a passing grade, is not a satisfactory way to learn a school course. By cramming, a student may learn the subject well enough to get by on the examination, but he is likely soon to forget almost everything he learned. A little overlearning, on the other hand, is usually a good investment toward the future.
Close your eyes, relax, listen, and follow. 闭上你的眼睛，放松，仔细听，并跟着读。You can make it.
你一定可以做到。
Lesson 13. The birth rate in Europe has been in a steady decrease since the 1960s. European countries, realizing crisis is at hand, are providing great encouragement for parents to create more babies in the 21st century. The Affairs Ministry concluded last year that, in spite of cash encouragement, some women just don't want to be left holding the baby. What we know is that it's good for the birth rate if men and women share the burden of having children, says Soren Kindlund, family policy advisor at the Swedish Ministry. Even though Swedish parents can take their paid leave as they wish, men use a mere 12% of it. 60% of fathers do not take even a single day off work. Experts fear that the tendency for women to use most of the parental leave could make employers reluctant to give young women the permanent jobs they need to qualify for paid maternity leave. In January, Sweden decided to allow new fathers 2 months paid leave with a warning, use it or lose it. Kindlund admits that men are under pressure to stay at work, even though parental pay comes out of the public purse. It's not popular among bosses, and perhaps with other men in the workplace, he says, but it's good for the father and for the child if they can build up a relationship. In Norway, a similar policy has worked wonders. 70% of dads in Norway now take parental leave, and the birth rate of 1.85 children per woman is one of the highest in Europe. Lesson 14. We may look at the world around us, but somehow we manage not to see it until whatever we've become used to suddenly disappears. Take, for example, the neatly dressed woman I used to see or look at on my way to work each morning. For 3 years, no matter what the weather was like, she was always waiting at the bus stop around 8 o'clock a.m. On snowy days, she wore heavy clothes and a pair of woolen gloves. Summertime brought out neat, belted cotton dresses and a hat pulled low over her sunglasses. Clearly, she was an ordinary working woman. Of course, I remembered all this only after she was seen no more. It was then that I realized how much I expected to see her each morning. You might say I missed her. Did she have an accident? Something worse, I thought to myself about her disappearance. Now that she was gone, I felt I had known her. I began to realize that part of our daily life probably includes such chance meetings with familiar strangers. The milkman you see at dawn. The woman who regularly walks her dog along the street every morning. The twin brothers you see at the library. Such people are important markers in our lives. They add weight to our sense of place and belonging. Think about it. If, while walking to work, we mark where we are by passing a certain building, why should we not mark where we are when we pass a familiar, though unnamed, person? Lesson 15. It was all his own idea, says Pat, the wife of California high school football coach Bob Payton. Bob just made a motherhood contract, declaring that for 70 days this summer, he would take over the care of their 4 children and all the housework. Although he didn't even know how to make coffee when he signed, he was very confident. After 40 of the 70 days, he was ready to give up. I was beaten down, admits Bob. Not only is motherhood a difficult task, it is an impossible job for any normal human being. Bob and Pat were married in 1991. After their marriage, Pat worked as a secretary to help put him through university. Since then, Bob has been the football coach while Pat raised the kids. Then 2 years ago, Pat went back to work. I had been around children so much, she sighs. I couldn't talk to a grown-up. She continued to run the household, however, until Bob signed the contract. Bob tried hard to learn cooking, but the meals he prepared were terrible. For the last 3 weeks, the family ate out a lot, sometimes having McDonald's hamburgers for lunch and dinner. As for housekeeping, a home economics teacher had told Bob that a room always looks clean if the bed is made. I found an easier way. I shut the doors, he says. Soon the kids were wearing their shirts inside out. When we went to fetch Pat up from work, I made them wear their shirts right side out so they would look clean. Now that Bob has publicly admitted he was wrong, he is sharing the child raising and household tasks with Pat. Lesson 16. Perhaps the most interesting person I have ever met is an Italian professor of philosophy who teaches at the University of Pisa. Although I last met this man 8 years ago, I have not forgotten his special qualities. First of all, I respected his devotion to teaching. Because his lectures were always well prepared and clearly delivered, students crowded into his classroom. His followers liked the fact that he believed in what he taught. Furthermore, he could be counted on to explain his ideas in an imaginative way, introducing such aids to understanding as oil paintings, music, and guest lectures. Once, he even sang a song in class in order to make a point clear. Secondly, I admired the fact that he would talk to students outside the classroom or talk with them on the telephone. Drinking coffee in the cafe, he would easily make friends with students. Sometimes, he would invite a student to a game of chess. Other times, he would join student groups to discuss a variety of subjects, agriculture, diving, and mathematics. Many young people visited him in his office for advice on their studies. Others came to his home for social evenings. Finally, I was attracted by his lively sense of humor. He believed that no lesson is a success unless during it, the students and the professor share at least one loud laugh. Through his sense of humor, he made learning more enjoyable and more lasting. If it is true that life makes a wise man smile and a foolish man cry, then my friend is indeed a wise man. Lesson 17. It was the district sports meet. My foot still hadn't healed from an earlier injury. I had doubted whether or not I should attend the meet. There I was, ready for the 3,000-meter run. Ready, set, the gun popped and we were off. The other girls rushed ahead of me. I felt ashamed as I fell farther and farther behind. "Hooray!" shouted the crowd. It was the loudest cheer I had ever heard at a meet. The first place runner was 2 laps ahead of me when she crossed the finish line. Maybe I should drop out, I thought as I moved on. However, I decided to keep going. During the last 2 laps, I ran in pain and decided not to race in track next year. It wouldn't be worth it, even if my foot did heal. When I finished, I heard a cheer, louder than the one I'd heard earlier. I turned around, and sure enough, the boys were preparing for their race. They must be cheering for the boys. I was leaving when several girls came up to me. "Wow, you've got courage," one of them told me. "Courage? I just lost a race," I thought. "I would have given up on the first lap," said another girl. "We were cheering for you. Did you hear us?" Suddenly, I regained hope. I decided to stick with track next year. I realized strength and courage aren't always measured in medals and victories, but in the struggles we overcome. The strongest people are not always the people who win, but the people who don't give up when they lose.
Yeah, that's good. Hi, Howler. Keep going. 继续努力.
Lesson 18. A little boy invited his mother to attend his school's first teacher-parent meeting. To the little boy's disappointment, she said she would go. This would be the first time that his classmates and teacher met his mother, and he felt ashamed of her appearance. Although she was a beautiful woman, there was a severe scar that covered nearly the entire right side of her face. The boy never wanted to talk about why or how she got the scar. At the meeting, the people were impressed by the kindness and natural beauty of his mother, in spite of the scar, but the little boy was still embarrassed and hid himself from everyone. He did, however, get within hearing of a conversation between his mother and his teacher. The teacher asked carefully, "How did you get the scar on your face?" The mother replied, "When my son was a baby, he was in a room that caught fire. Everyone was too afraid to go in because the fire was out of control, so I went in. As I was running toward his bed, I saw a long piece of wood coming down, and I placed myself over him trying to protect him. I was knocked senseless, but fortunately, a fireman came in and saved both of us." She touched the burned side of her face. "This scar will be lasting, but to this day, I have never regretted what I did." At this point, the little boy came out running toward his mother with tears in his eyes. He held her in his arms and felt a great sense of the sacrifice that his mother had made for him. He held her hand tightly the rest of the day. Lesson 19. I grew up in a community called Estepona. I was 16 when one morning, Dad told me I could drive him into a distant village called Mijas, on condition that I took the car in to be serviced at a nearby garage. I readily accepted. I drove Dad into Mijas and promised to pick him up at 4 p.m., then dropped off the car at the garage. With several hours to spare, I went to a theater. However, when the last movie finished, it was 6. I was 2 hours late. I knew Dad would be angry if he found out I'd been watching movies, so I decided not to tell him the truth. When I hurried there, I apologized for being late and told him I'd come as quickly as I could, but but that the car had needed some major repairs. I'll never forget the look he gave me. I'm disappointed you feel you have to lie to me, Jason. Dad looked at me again. When you didn't turn up, I called the garage to ask if there were any problems, and they told me you hadn't yet picked up the car. I felt ashamed as I weakly told him the real reason. A sadness passed through Dad as he listened attentively. I'm angry with myself. I realize I failed as a father. I'm going to walk home now and think seriously about where I've gone wrong all these years. But Dad, it's 18 miles. My protests and apologies were useless. Dad walked home that day. I drove behind him, begging him all the way, but he walked silently. Seeing Dad in so much physical and emotional pain was my most painful experience. However, it was also the most successful lesson. I have never lied since. Lesson 20. Not too long ago, an incident that happened at Walt Disney World touched me greatly. A guest, checking out of our Polynesian Village Resort at Walt Disney World, was asked how she enjoyed her visit. She told the front desk clerk she had had a wonderful vacation, losing several rolls of Kodak color film she had not yet developed. At that moment, she was particularly sad over the loss of the pictures she had shot at our Polynesian luau, as this was a memory she especially treasured. Now please understand that we have no written service rules covering lost photos in the park. Fortunately, the clerk at the front desk understood Disney's idea of caring for our guests. She asked the woman to leave her a couple of rolls of unused film, promising she would take care of the rest of our show at the Polynesian Luau. 2 weeks later, the guest received a packet at her home. In it were photos of all the actors of our show, personally signed by each performer. There were also pictures of the public procession and fireworks in the park, taken by the front desk clerk in her own time after work. I happen to know this story because this guest wrote us a letter. She said that never in her life had she received such good service from any business. Excellent service does not come from policy handbooks. It comes from people who care and from a culture that encourages and models that attitude. Lesson 21. The amount of usable water has always been of great interest in the world. Owning springs and streams sometimes means control, particularly in the dry areas like the desert. The control is possible even without possession of large areas of rich land. In the early days of the American West, gunfights were not uncommon for the water resources, and laws had to be made to protect the water rights of the settlers and the use of the water resources accordingly. As is known to us all, there is not enough water in all places for everyone to use as much as he likes. Deciding on the amount of water that will be used in any particular period requires careful planning, so that people can manage and use water more effectively. Farmers have to change their use of or demand for water according to the water supply forecast. The correct water supply forecast is based more on the water from above than from below. Interest is rising in the ways to increase rainfall by man-made methods and to get water from the winter snow on mountaintops. With special equipment, some scientists are studying the ways in which the mountain snow can be made use of, and with the help of a repeater station, they send the gathered data to the base station. The operator at the base station can get the data at any time by pressing a button. In the near future, the forecast and use of water will probably depend on the advanced knowledge of snow on mountains, not of water underground.
Don't worry, you can make it. 别担心，你一定可以成功。
Don't worry, you can make it.
You can make it.
Don't worry,
don't worry, you can make it.
Lesson 22. I played a racquetball game against my cousin Ed last week. It was one of the most surprising and tiring games I've ever had. When Ed first phoned and suggested we play, I laughed quietly, figuring on an easy victory. After all, Ed's idea of exercise has always been nothing more effort-making than lifting a fork to his mouth. As long as I can remember, Ed's been the least physically fit member in the family, and strangely proud of himself. His big stomach has always ballooned out between his t-shirt and trousers. Although the family often joked about that, Ed refused to buy a larger t-shirt or to lose weight. So when Ed arrived for our game, not only with the bottom of his shirt gathered inside his trousers, but also with a stomach you could hardly notice, I was so surprised that I was speechless. My cousin must have made an effort to get himself into shape. As a result, at the point in our game, when I'd have predicted the score to be about 9-1 in my favor, it was instead 7-9, and Ed was leading. The sudden realization was painful. We continued to play like two madmen. When the score was 16 up, I was having serious doubts about staying alive until 21 years old, let alone scoring that many points. When the game finally ended, both of us were lying flat on our backs, too tired to move. In a way, I think we both won. I the game, but Cousin Ed, my respect. This is the end of Tape 1. Please join us for Tape 2.